Blog Talk Radio.
No water, desert dry. No rain, no reason why. This feeling used to own me and control me. My heart in need, you came and washed it all away. You woke up all the love inside me. No more hiding. You are the secret. I cannot keep it all to myself. From deep within me, you are the mystery I love to tell. No more my sin, my shame.
Mother's Day coming up, and also for having
Blog Talk Mom as my mother, and I hear a lot of people and see a lot of people make comments about what a blessing she is, but I got the double blessing on the fact that not just was she doing those same things for me spiritually that she's doing for other people, I had that double in my life all the way through. And so I feel very blessed about that. I want to remind everybody that's forgotten, don't forget where the florist is. Don't forget a card, you know, a nice dinner or something. As my wife would say, a back rub or a foot rub. Those things are real handy, guys. So just don't forget that your wife, you can't forget her on Mother's Day, even though she's not your mother. I tried that when I first got married, and I can tell you that it didn't fly very well, did it, Starlight?
No, sir.
Yeah, that was one of those things that I found out right there. I'm like, but you didn't get me nothing for Mother's Day. And I'm like, well, you're not my mother. And she's like, hmm. Anyway, for the next 364 days, I was reminded that she may not be my mother, but that it would be very wise for me to remember her on Mother's Day. So for all you guys that kind of slipped up on you, don't forget about that. And with this topic today, I was reminded in my childhood how my mother has always worked in ministry, either with children or something in teaching or preaching. And me and my sister, she would practice her lessons on us, whether it was with a puppet or she used to have what we used to be called a flannel board. I don't even know if they have that anymore or not. A lot of things have changed with time now with computers and everything. But I can remember her teaching me about the Good Samaritan, and in such a way that when I was talking to her about this the other day, that those memories that really just jumped out in my mind as to what she taught us. And one thing that I've noticed as people become, I'm trying to figure out what the right word would be, because older kids really don't really fit this either, but it seems like people that have been in church, that a lot of times we get to locking up into the isms and theories and everything as to what we think God's word means to us. And sometimes we forget just to go to the basics of God's words. And, we like quoting different scriptures and everything about God's word, but we need to realize that the Bible was the inspired word of God. And Scripture tells us that he's watching over this word to perform it in the lives of his people. And we're talking about someone. There's promises and things that I could say that sometimes I can't do. But what I found with God is he doesn't make any promises. He doesn't share anything with us that not just can he do it, but he will do it if we're in the right position to allow that power to go forth in our life. And, it's real easy. Yes.
We have a caller already.
Okay, well, let's hang on just a second. One of the things that really jumped out at me today when we were getting this ready was how that the Brother McElhoney last week shared with us about his trip to Haiti. And I tell you what, there's different times, different scriptures, different sermons, different teachings. They really reach out to you. And never have I ever seen anything like God's word where you can sit in a service and you can hear 25 people get up after a service and say, that was exactly what I needed. I needed that. And then you get to listen to what they're saying, and every one of them got something different from the exact same word that you just heard that you got something really good out of, but it wasn't the same thing. And that has to do with the power of God, that he reaches all of us where we live. And a lot of times I look at things in God's word and I try to take it to where I try to put the little isms and schisms and theory to it and everything instead of going to the basics of God's word. And as I shared with all of you before, I want my life to be what it needs to be to please God. And it's not a finished work yet, and it's still a work in progress. But I was kind of, looking today that, I think, well, how is it that we miss God's word so much? How is it that we lock into all these different theories and things and just really don't want to apply things to our lives? And the thing that with Brother McElhaney, I had God woke me up at 4 o'clock the next morning after that program and kind of put me in the positions and the places where Brother McElhaney was. And I tell you what, I'm not real happy to be. I was like, well, can't we do this at 8? But really, seriously, it was one of those things. It's like I knew what was happening. There was without a doubt what was happening for me. And that's what I'm hoping this show does for other people. And one of the things that I want to make clear is this is not a debate issue. I want this to be like a family sitting at a kitchen table where everyone respectfully hears what everybody else has to say on the topic that we're listening to. And I wanted to make it clear that God wants us all to be closer to Him than where we are right now. And I have asked Blog Talk Mom to share with us the story she taught it with me on this topic of what we have today of the Good Samaritan, because I think that applies to all of us and what we need in our lives. And so I'd like for Blog Talk Mom to go ahead, if you would, and share with us the story of the Good Samaritan.
Well, again, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you, Richie, better known as Wild Bill, for having this program and for all the wonderful things you've said. And I do agree with you that you have a marvelous wife, very sweet, very caring and compassionate in every way. And I appreciate this program because it's just like you just said, it gives our family for sure an opportunity to sort of come together. And life is passing us by, time is flying by, and we get to come together and talk about the things that are really important to us. And we may not agree totally, but it's exciting. And I was listening to things that you were saying about when we listen to the Word of God under the anointing of God through a minister or a tape or whatever, it's going to reach out to our need. It's going to come to where we are. You know, the Lord comes to what we're searching for, what we're going through. And that's what the Good Samaritan did. He went to the person in need. That was what made him the Good Samaritan, not how marvelous he could sing or talk, which all of that's great. I don't think we have to pull against any ministry. But this is a beautiful story, and if you want me to, I'll just go ahead and read it directly from the Word of God.
Okay, if that's what you'd like to do.
Okay, if we look right at the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, 25 through 35. And he answering said, and it's talking the scripture, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And then Jesus said, and thy neighbor as thyself. He put that on the end there. Now we can see that we certainly should empower our lives by loving God with everything we have. But then the Lord puts this, and thy neighbor as thyself. And behold, a certain lawyer, now this was a man that was probably very good at debating, he stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So this man knew. He had read what he was supposed to do. So he went on and said, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, here's this lawyer, he wants to justify himself. Just that really is a key right there, to we all want to feel justified in anything we do, say, or whatever. He said unto Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? So Jesus was awesome in the way that he would take time to make a picture or a parable to bring it right down to where anybody could understand what he was saying, if they desired to understand, if they were truly hungry for an answer. And Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, oh, I'd love to talk about that in a minute if it comes around to it. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, He passed by on the other side. Now, here's the priest. This is the man that's supposed to be the closest to God. He saw him, and he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. Now, here's the Levitical priesthood. He's really the one that should have been full of compassion. When he was at the place that this man would have fallen amongst the thieves, he came and looked on him. At least he didn't just go. He looked at the situation, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And we're going to talk and share and take callers about this compassion. But of all the stories I've ever heard about the Good Samaritan, the greatest analogy to me was Jesus Christ, who was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And he saw a little 18-year-old girl that had totally didn't deserve anything. I had fallen among thieves. I mean, the devil, I had fallen among that one that kills and destroys. But Jesus came to me, and he gave me, he poured oil into my wounds. And he didn't hurt me, but he helped me, and he lifted me up. And he carried me by his power and took me to a church that taught truth. And he said, I'm going to be back. I'm going to come back and get you one of these days. So you live for me, and you grow, and you get well over all the things. So to me, utmost, he is my Good Samaritan. But also there are 3 main ideas that I've heard taught many times, and it just covers it so well. There are 3 attitudes that people have. One, you look at the priest and the Levite. What they had, they say, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. And then you look at the thieves. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. But then the Samaritan says, what's mine is yours, and I'm going to give it. And those same philosophies have never ended. They're still here. And I asked a lady in our church, Sister Vicki Keller, who is one of the most dynamic teachers I believe I've ever heard. And she has ministered to me so many times that she didn't even know. And I've shared with her some of those times, because the first lesson I ever heard her teach on was about the woman, the little widow in the Old Testament, how she ministered when she didn't have anything. And she was thinking that she was going to die and her son was going to die. And I asked her if she would, if she's online, if you would give her a moment to share that with us.
Do you know what the last 4 of her phone number is?
Let me see if I can see that.
Well, I think there's someone on here that has their hand up. That may be them.
Okay.
Starla, do you want to go ahead and call them on and see? We got someone with a hand
okay.
up.
Okay, 8644, you're on.
Hello, I'm Sister Vicki Keller.
Hello, Vicki.
Hi, how are you?
Just fine, and you?
Fine, and thank you for allowing me to have a moment on your show. The story that your mother is telling, it jumped out of the scriptures to me one night, and the Lord laid a sermon on my heart with it. That little lady in the Old Testament in Kings with her son was dying because of the famine. And, you know, being a good Samaritan doesn't mean it's a time of convenience. It's never being a good Samaritan is being convenient. But it's the Holy Ghost that dwells within us that gives us that little nudge that says, do it. And when we do it, it's going to be like we're casting our bread upon the waters. And the Bible says that after many days, it'll come back. Not that literal bread, but our need will be filled and returned because we were obedient. because of what that little lady did, and because Elijah blessed her for doing it, said, if you'll feed me, it'll be all right. A famine in the land then. She took her little meal and took her little oil, and she made a cake for him and took it to him and gave it to him. Now, if that isn't a good Samaritan, I don't know what it is, because there was no more meal in the barrel and no more oil in the cruse. So by faith, she said, it was designed for me to meet the prophet. It was designed by God for me to feed the prophet, and I'm going to feed him, whether I live or whether I die. And she did. I did a study, and because she was obedient, she had approximately 70 members in her household that was able to eat off that meal barrel that was empty. But every time she went to it, it had just enough to feed whoever was sitting at her table. And that cruse of oil, it didn't run dry either. There was always enough in that cruse of oil to pour to make the meal that she was to serve for whoever was to sit at her table. Was that being a good Samaritan? Absolutely.
Yep.
Was it convenient? No, sir. It was not. But because of obedience to the word, and because she stood on what the man of God said, God did the miraculous for her and her son. And that is how the Holy Ghost works in our life. When we hear the wonderful, awesome word of God preached, it'll meet my need, it'll meet your need, it'll meet your mama's need. It'll bless your wives and ever how many sitting underneath the sound of the word, just because it's directed. That spirit knows what we need, and he knows how to feed us up with that meal and with that cruise of oil. It's awesome living for God. Is it always convenient? Is it always easy and convenient? No, it's not. But I don't imagine it was easy and convenient for that precious Savior of ours to hang on that cruel, cruel cross and pay the price that he paid either.
That is so good.
Thank you for
having me. I
heard
someone else preach on that. Well, no, please don't leave us and everything, because I really like it. And I have a question for you, too.
Sure.
It was really funny when I was talking to Blog Talk Mom. I'd heard a preacher, Brother Hook, preached on the woman who, you know, fed the preacher and gave the last for meal and oil and everything. And there's actually scripture, and I can't remember where it was, where it talks about generations later, they were still remembering, the prophet, what happened there and everything. But sometimes you have to, when I look at things, I want to ask you, it seems like sometimes it's not just not convenient, but I really don't feel God's presence there either. I just have opportunity come my way. And then sometimes within myself, I have to say, okay, now is this just another person out there trying to use this as a way to make a living? Are they really somebody in need? And then we get into that thing of being judgmental. And I wonder sometimes if we're really missing the whole thing of what the Good Samaritan really is. And I wanted your thoughts on that.
In our day and life that we are in now, it's so easy to pass up opportunities to be a good Samaritan, because it seems like the world today wants to say, my four, no more. I got to have a job. I got to do this. I got to do that. And they're pressured in that area. The opportunity, there's an old saying, and it says, see a need, feel a need. See a need, feel a need. I can go every day if I wanted to, and I could find a million needs, and there's no way I could meet them all. But there is some that I can, and I feel like the God in us wants us to do what we can so that he can do the impossible, because we were obedient. And I think obedience.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just think obedience is the key. If you're looking at a situation, well, God, do I really need to do this? This is my last $5. And you see somebody on the street and you don't have a job yourself, but you give that person that $5 because you know that's the right thing to do, I believe, through your faith and stepping out and being the Good Samaritan, that God, before that time's over with, you'll not only have that money back in your pocket, but you'll have a job on top of it.
Yeah. But even if you don't get the money back in your pocket and the job on top of it, there's still, I think that this is part of the process to put ourselves in right position for God to be able to work even greater through us, to be that vessel that can put out even more than what we have in the past. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I am looking every day to get closer. And I don't know if you listened last week, what Brother McElhaney shared about his going to Haiti and everything, but there were so many situations where he had opportunity and was in his right to say, no, not me, not this time. And yet he never did. And every time, even though he was still in the stench of the situation, he was still having to deal with worrying about keeping everything he owned dry out of the water that was coming in to his tents and everything. All the things that as a natural person we would worry about, God didn't move him from that situation, but man, what God did do was use him to be such a blessing to others around him in a way that just blows the mind. And if we're really doing what we're supposed to do, that's what it's supposed to all be about.
Right.
It's not about just what we get back. There was nothing in what he did that was something he could look to get something back in return. And because he was obedient even with that, and so that's partially why I picked this topic, because I think sometimes we go to looking at our conceptions of things, and everything you said, I agree 100%, and what Blog Talk Mom said, they were great points and everything, but I think that if there ever was a time that the people of faith, those that claim to be part of God's family, need to get closer to him, it's now, because the enemy is going against ministry like I've never seen it. We talk about that a lot. I've never seen so many attacks against ministers' families, against them, their health, finances. It's just one thing after another. But now's the time for God's people to stand up, and I've said this before, draw a line in the sand and say, no more. You know, I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to get closer. You're not going to persuade me to give up. You're not going to put things in my path to make me think it's not worth it. And that's, we were talking to Blog Talk Mom, that's one of the things that Satan always does. He takes it too far every time. And when he does that, those that have made up their mind to stand up and not just be knocked down and stay down, that's the time when he crosses that line, like, well, is it really worth it living for God? If he left it up to the points before that sometimes, you know, you get to kind of playing games in your own mind, wondering about things. But when he goes there, that's one of those things that's like, whoa, God didn't do this to me. He's never done me anything but good. He's never been anything but fair. He's watched over his word to perform it in my life. He had mercy where I deserve no mercy. He had grace when I deserve no grace. And so when you get to looking at those things, you get to thinking, wow, I want to be like what I heard Brother McElhaney was when he was in Haiti. I want to be that man. I don't want my stinking thinking to be one to where I can't be the light and the witness I need to be. I want it to be to where automatically my thought process is to say yes and to be instant in season and out of season. And so it's one of those things that's my perception of what we're looking at today. And Blog Talk Mommers, one of the things I was really hoping you would share that you did in the Sunday school class was how that they were sort of enemies.
Well, the Samaritan was hated. You know, the Jewish people have always had a elitist type feeling. I love the Jews, by the way, so we won't, nothing negative there. But the Samaritans were part Jewish and part different nationalities, and so they were hated, despised, outcasts. The Samaritans were not treated well at all. And remember the story about the Samaritan at the well, the lady, and Jesus makes a point of being there and reveals to her her living conditions, that she was had five men in her life, and the man she was living with she was not married to, and all of that, he was not even supposed to be there talking to her or whatever. But because of his contact and revealing to her and her seeing in him the miraculous, she went into the town that the disciples had already been in and hadn't obviously witnessed anybody. But when she got back in there, she turned the whole town upside down for Jesus. They all wanted to come out and see. So, I mean, a lot of times the people that we least expect to be anything, they're the ones that God will reach in and give them. Well, look at the little widow. That story is so exciting to me. You would think that if the prophet needed food, that God would do it, you know, some other way than this little widow woman that comes up with the very last part that she has, but gives it in faith. And this is the way God works. He works, to me, it seems like he just picks the most impossible situation. And then when we do our part and yield to that, and we're willing to be that Samaritan and care and have compassion, then he makes it work. And he does it on both sides of the coin, just like what Sister Vicki was talking about. You can't outgive God. I mean, I might make a mistake and give $5 to someone that really doesn't deserve it. But the Bible says, he that lendeth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. I'm not going to outgive God. Somewhere down the line, he's going to repay that, if nothing else, just by knowing him, just by his presence, just by being on his team. Just, you know, I just love that. I love the idea of thinking that I'm on the same team that Almighty God is on. I can't lose with the stuff we use, as one of our sisters says. And it's exciting. It's not, I know it takes sacrifice. I mean, everything takes a point of sacrifice. But in the long run, it is the most exciting life in the world, being the one that God lays on your heart, nudges you, puts you in the path of somebody that you can help. And sometimes, now like this past week, I had a situation that I was so drained after this particular, trying to work with this person and lifting stuff that I'm too old and too wore out to be lifting to try to help her, and then she turns right around and goes the other direction. But in the midst of that, when I finally got settled down and got my feelings out of the way, I realized that that's God. That's what he did for me. That's what he does for humanity. There's a story. I'm going to read it real quickly. It's a common story. It's in a lot of sermons. But it talks about Jesus, and it's called One Solitary Life. There's a young man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While he was still a young man, the tide of public opinion turned against him, this Good Samaritan, I added that. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to the cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, and that was his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a barred grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, oh, hallelujah, and all the navies that have ever sailed, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of a man upon this earth, or has that one solitary life. And I'm so thankful that I know him, and that he was a good Samaritan for me. And oh, I praise God that in this world right now, there are many, many organizations that call themselves Samaritan Heart. And there are people that reach out. Maybe they're not the vast majority, But Jesus said, if I give one cup of water in your hand, that's all I'm going to require of you. And there are people with a heart. There are people that really, really do care. And I'm thankful. I hope and pray that I'm one of those. I know I'm in a church with a pastor that has a heart bigger than anybody I've ever known, and a group of people that have, that follow her in her spirit, and the Lord. I mean, we have the Friendship Connection, Buried Treasures, the Clubhouse. They're just she has a just so many things. Pastor Holland reaches out to people, and you, Richie, you've told Wild Bill, you've told me stories of how you've been there for people that just walk up to you and they have, they're in need, they're broke down somewhere, and you've helped them out. That's the Good Samaritan. And Starla, with so many things that I've seen her do with her family and with me, and she is a Good Samaritan. And Sister Vicky, I tell you, that lady, she is just, she has a heart bigger than the world. And so, you know, it's an up thing. It's a good thing. It's a positive thing. It's not really a negative thing in any way.
I agree that it's not a negative thing, but I have a question to you that I have a question in myself, and we're going back to Scripture on this. We look at different things. There are times where things come our way that there's no way we can help financially. We all know what we're talking about. I mean, here in Nashville, Tennessee, you can go up, and on every other corner, there's someone sitting there with a sign, and they're collecting money. And, you know, you get to reading things in the paper. There was one of those people that lived in Brentwood, Tennessee, and he actually walked over four or five blocks away and climbed into his Mercedes car and drove to his little mansion over in a very nice gated community in Brentwood, Tennessee. And so because of those things, it's real easy to harden our hearts sometimes. But then I get to thinking about how the disciples were walking along, and there was someone begging alms. And they said, I don't have alms, but such as I have, give I thee.
Yeah.
And I want to be that instant to where I have faith in my God to know that he put me in that situation to come across those people.
Wow.
That I can give of him for healing or deliverance or whatever it is that needs to be done there. Because we talked about this before, it's real easy sometimes, or not easy, giving money is never easy, but for some people, they will make a donation to something, but yet they have the skills and the things that could be used to actually go in and be part of a ministry or something that actually works with those people. And so there again, you know, in being a Good Samaritan, it's not just in being in those situations. And I shared with you, I had a person came up one time and I bought him a couple of cheeseburgers and I felt really good about myself. Like, woo, I passed that test, Lord, I did good. And then the next thing that happened, I had a family in a restaurant, and they wanted to order, and it's funny how that works, they wanted to order the more expensive things on the menu, but yet it was clear they were hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was clear they were destitute. They were in need. And I don't know what it is about the mindset of those people that makes them do those things, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I got in my truck, and I left, and I had to get off at the next exit because the Lord reminded me of just how proud and how haughty I was for buying a couple of cheeseburgers for some people in need during a time when I wasn't doing well financially. And I went back, and those people were still there, and I paid for the meals that they asked for. And I'm not saying that to give me a pat on the back, because my first response was, well, if there's such and such type people that they can order the best and the more expensive of the things that are here, then they must not be that much in need. You know, they're not, you know, they didn't want just whatever I was willing to give. They had a specific request. But how do I know that God didn't put them there to show them somebody that would meet their specific request? And if I'd have done it right the first time, maybe I could have been a witness to them to find out more about them, maybe got some names or something, maybe try to find, you know, some other people of like faith in that area that might have been able to do more for those people than what it was. But I was so out of position because I did it wrong the first time that I didn't get the blessing I could have got out of it, and all the blessing they got was that meal. That was it, where it could have been so much more. And so,
but don't judge it or measure it yourself, because, see, you can't really do that. we sometimes measure what we do by our own measurement, and that's not. I mean, you did it. You went back. You know, next time I go out and eat with you, I'm gonna order the best thing on the menu. I learned something there. All right. That was good. You know, there's no
doubt. We'll discuss if you don't want the French fries and you want the onion rings, and then when they come back around, you say, "Well, I want my French fries."
That was so cute. My mother wanted everything that came with the meal. That was the way it was supposed to be. Well, I appreciate what you're saying, and there's so many avenues, like the divine appointment, being there, allowing God to. I can say something funny. I was trying to hurry and get back to the house for the program, and I whipped in a VP station, and I put the card in, and I grabbed the nozzle, and I'm worked, and I thought, what is the matter? I tried every way in the world to get it in, and then finally I realized I was at the diesel pump, and they've got, you know, it doesn't go into your gas deal, you know what? And I was just so, you know, was wanting to get a little bit aggravated because I knew I had to hurry, and so I rearranged everything and got the cap back on and wheeled around, and the delay that it took for me to do all that and get back made me available for a divine appointment. I recognized it as soon as the person jumped out of the truck and ran over there to me, telling, you know, they've been missing church and whatever. And I thought, oh, me, if I just relax, you know, sometimes. And so, you know, God knows how to put us in position with people at the right place and the right time. And we're not, maybe not, you know, hit it every time, but we're aiming for it. You know, well, that's our desire to do that. And I think.
But what I'm talking about, and I think you understand, is like what Brother McElhaney did. I mean, the Lord woke me up, and I shared this with you. He put me in everyone. I ask myself, you know, why do I not have things like that happening more in my life? Why this and why that? Charlotte says, you know, do you want some wine with that cheese? You know, some cheese with that wine? So I said, wine. And, you know, sometimes we do that with God, you know. You know, we're like, you know, why? I could just hear God looking at us just smiling like those poor little children. Mine is like a little lamb. Sometimes I got to break their legs, keep them from running off and hurting themselves and things. But it's one of those things to where, you know, every specific thing, God put me there. And like the thing where he was woke up on the wrong day, and myself, I would have been insistent, especially if you heard more of the details as to what he went through and trying to get sleep over there. And like, this is my time off. Leave me alone. It's somebody else. And look what he would have missed. Or if he had, and I would have, in the situation where they said, you know, I want you to go over to the storage room and do this, and I would have thought, and my first response was, that's not my job. That's not what I'm here to do. And so, and I've had it with my job here even. I've had things happen to where I want to stand up for myself because I want to be home, and I thought it was a right commitment. I wanted to be home on weekends, to be home every other Sunday for church. I thought, you know, and it seems like it's a constant battle, and my attitude got to thinking, with, what kind of a witness am I when I'm constantly up in there like, hey, hear me, you know, I'm wanting home on this day. I'm not going to take anything less. And they can't control the way the freight runs. It's not the way it works. And then right now they're in a situation to where weekends is their busiest time. And I thought, you know, I start treating those people like I want to be treated. I start acting like a Christian. I start acting like I care about these people.
Right.
It's one thing to say I care about them, but it's another thing to really care about people. Do we really care for the lost? Do we really care that there's thousands and millions of people out there that if God came back today, that they'd be lost to a Satan's hell that wasn't even made for them, and just for the grace of God, I'd be right there with them? You know, do we really understand what we're saying when we talk about being a good Samaritan? When we're talking about having that love for a neighbor, you know, is it the person next door to you? Is it the person across town? You know, it's one of those things to where if the love of God is not shining out in every aspect of our life, I know I'm failing, and I can't speak for anybody else. And that's the thing where I want it to be that my first thought is, like you were saying, God, I don't know why this is happening. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to worry. I know that you're working everything out for my good, and it's for your purpose. And when I get myself in that mindset, I did that the first day I did that with my dispatchers at work. You know what happened? They started being nice back to me. All of a sudden, where it seemed like we weren't getting along so well, all of a sudden we started getting along really well. And it was because of the fact that I changed, it allowed them to change. And I thought, you know, what if a situation happened where one of them had something serious happen in their life and I wanted to be a witness for them or pray for them or something like that, that other person I was being, that would be the last person I'd want to be praying for me. Somebody looked like I was eating green persimmons all the time and, you know, being on complaint. And I want it to be, and like I said before on this show, a lot of this has to do with things that within me I'm wanting to do better. I don't want to be satisfied if God wants more of me because, as we all know, he never asks us to do anything that he doesn't give us a way to do it. If he gives us, if someone needs a cup of water, he's going to make sure, and he wants us to supply it, he's going to make sure we got that cup of water.
That's right.
But we got to be willing to be in that position to allow those things to happen. Does this other sister, did you have anything else that you wanted to share? I'm sorry, I got to kind of running off the mouth there.
There's only one thing that I really wanted to share. The little widow woman, you know, I imagine because it wasn't an opportune time for her, but because of the willingness of the heart, I imagine, and it's not written verbatim in the Word of God, but God had to have gone before that time frame in her life and dealt with her. And everything that you said confirms how we need to reach the lost, be a witness, speak with a soft voice, be kind one to another. Those are merits and traits of a good Samaritan. And those are the type of people that needy people grasp to. And that's the type of person that a sinner wants to pray for them or their family or they have a need. You're going to be the first one they call. Be instant in season and out of season. And we want to use that as in, oh, it's my time to preach. I'm instant in season. But I don't believe that's all that it means.
Right.
I believe that it means every day prepare through prayer, through some time spent alone with the Lord, through reading of the Word, dedication, and that whatever crosses your path, that you'll be instant to give a good word, an encouraging word, that you'll strengthen somebody. That smile on your face might be the only Bible somebody reads.
That's good.
Right, that's good. I like that.
That's really good. You know, when you had Brother McElhaney on, I had just finished that, I guess, an ordeal with that situation. I was trying to be the Good Samaritan. But his testimony carried with it such a power and such a fragrance that it just came in and just all of the stress and tension just floated away. I mean, it was just wonderful. And if we do things with the right attitude and from being in the presence of God and being a channel of God, you know, channel of his spirit, then it has power. Because like your program you gave, but he gave that testimony. I was blessed, then I was encouraged, and then I was able to do something that the Lord had wanted me to do that I was really almost too discouraged to do. But I was so uplifted, and I love that. I love that fragrance that we can carry into a situation. It's just beautiful. And Brother McElhaney's testimony is one of the most inspiring, powerful that I've ever heard, and I recommend anybody that's listening, if you did not get to hear it, as the way I understand it, you can go back. Is that right, Wild Bill? And
you can go to the archives and you can hear the whole thing as to what happened while he was over in Haiti. And like you say, it's very inspirational, especially if you really take time to listen to it all and understand. You know, it's kind of like, reminded me, you're talking about the little widow woman, Brother Johnny Shield. I remember him preaching, you know, talking about here this man, this big Pentecostal preacher come in and he probably had a little bit of a belly on him. He's like, feed me, you know. And the widow woman comes in, like, who do you think you are? You know, but she didn't do that and everything. And that was one of the things. Brother McElhaney is good at his job, but still, when you consider the people that he went before, we're talking about some of the most well-known organizations that are doing, you know, reaching out and doing things in Haiti and these different countries around the world and even the U.S. government. And here, this little Pentecostal preacher went up before this board of people, and he was the one that was selected to go there. And even though there's a fine line between being a preacher and being a counselor in his job, and he has to maintain the professionalism of his job, and we talked about it before he went, that he had to maintain a certain professional standard, even though he was a preacher, he couldn't intermingle the two with his work. And what did God do? They made him the chaplain over there of the counselors to go in so he could actually minister to people and be what God wanted him to be. And when you hear that whole thing, it's just, wow, you know, what a mighty God we serve. And that was one of the things I was leading up to at the beginning of this here. You know, God's word is power. It's one of those things we can go right down to the basics of it. But you know what? When you really look at it, no matter what we do, we are not going to diminish the power of God's word, ever. You know, you can look at the disciples out there on the stormy waters, and here you had disciples, and they had fear. And then you take Jesus, and he says, peace be still, and the waves stop. I mean, not just did the wind and the rain and everything that went along with the storm stop, the motion of the ocean stopped. There was peace. And not just that, I believe he put peace in those disciples' hearts, because that's the kind of God we serve, that when he speaks, things happen.
Right.
And I was reminded of Lazarus, how, you know, they came, you know, sent message to him, you know, Lazarus is sick, he's going to die. And he kept on preaching or teaching and everything that he was doing. And then they came to him and like, Lazarus has died. And he's like, no, he's only sleeping. And they still didn't understand. These were people that walked and talked with him and grew up with him, some of them, and were like family to him. And they still didn't understand who he was and what he could do and the power of his word in people's lives. And, you know, they just went over the top of them when he said, you know, he's sleeping. And when he came back, what did they do? They said, if you had been here, he would not have died. He would not have died. And then, you know, you read one of the most powerful scriptures in God's word where it said, Jesus wept. And I think about it, he's like, oh, don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I'm willing to do for my people, for the love that I have for you? Do you not know what I'm here to do, that I am to be that lamb that's going to be sacrificed for the sin of all mankind forever, so that there's a way of escape where it seems like there is no way of escape? I am that Jesus. I am the Messiah. Do you really not understand? But yet even then, in his words, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, he had to come out of that grave. There wasn't no hesitation. And I've heard it said before, if he hadn't said Lazarus, just had come forth, there probably would have been an empty graveyard right then, because they all would have come out of there. And that's the power of God's word, if we're willing to be in a position to let it work through us. But we need to realize that we can diminish only ourselves and how we can be used. But we're never going to diminish God's word and the power of that word. I don't know where I got off on that, but it just that's one of those things that I was looking at today, and I thought, you know, wow, it actually gave me a feeling of reassurance to realize that if they missed it, then, you know, God, it is a process. We go through process with things, and God brings things our way to process us. I think the Bible says he purifies us like gold, and it takes heat to do that sometimes, and so that's what I want to be in a position to where I don't want to run from God's fire, that I want it to be something that consumes the things in me and needs to be consumed. And when he brings storms, that it scatters the things away from my life that needs to be scattered. And the things that need to be in firm foundation, that they have firm foundation in him. And I want to be like the disciples, that when those things come my way and I can't do something, I want to say, can I pray for you? I can't do anything to help with your situation, but I can pray for you. And I can tell them who Jesus is, and I can tell them what he's done for me in my life and where he found me and where he's brought me to now. Those are things that I can do to be a good Samaritan, and that being instant and out of season, instant in season and out of season. And I want to be that way more and more in my life.
Well, Bill, we have a caller.
Okay.
1833, you're on.
God bless you, Saint.
God bless you.
Listen, Bill, talk a little bit about God. and send chills through my body. That's the anointing of his appearance. He's talking truth. I'm going to sit here and listen to you guys. I don't mind. I don't know what the topic
is. I appreciate you calling in.
I don't know what the topic is you're talking about, but it sounds good to me. I'm sure going to listen.
Well, we appreciate our topic tonight was on the Good Samaritan. And, you know, we like, you know, some people look at it as a Bible story for children and everything, but we were looking at how can we be a Good Samaritan in this day and time? And are we really trying to be that Good Samaritan? So where are you calling from, caller?
I'm calling from Sacramento, California.
Well, praise the Lord. God's just as real out there in Sacramento as he is all over the United States. We're coming at you from Mississippi and Tennessee.
Okay, Mississippi. That's where my ancestors from. I remember the time that as a child, Mama used to grab my ears and make me go to church. She used to give me money to put in the offering, and I used to stop by the store on the way and get me some cookies to eat in the church. So one day she called me eating them cookies, and she made me put them in the plate.
Mom would do that
now,
for you.
Oh yeah, now when I get older, you know, I still cling close to God. And he's been real in my life. If it wasn't for him, I don't know where I'd be right now today. You know, he brought me out to Morty Clay, he brought me out to holes where no man or woman would want to go. You know, I was behind those bars at one time, and I was behind them caves at one time, and I was behind that addiction at one time, you know, and God, if it wasn't for that man saying God, I wouldn't be up out of there. So that man, that's one man that I look at today and never turn his back on him. Never again in life. Never again.
Well, do you have any thoughts for us on what you think about what it takes to be a good Samaritan in this day and time? Or
in this day and time, what it takes to be a good Samaritan is very easy. He gave us 10 commandments, and all we have to do is follow them. And as we follow them, one of them says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I believe if you love yourself, and you can love your neighbor. That's nothing but joy there. And that's what my God is about, joy and happiness and peace on earth. That means no matter who the person is or where the person's going or how the person come at you, you still got to show him love as Christians, as children of God. If you believe and have strength, God is your provider, your stronghold, guarantee you. In any circumstances, as a man and as a female, that God will deliver you. He's a jealous God. He don't believe in worshiping other things of the world. But as long as you give, it's better to give than it is ever to receive. As long as you giving, he gave us a lot. Look at it now. He gave us life every morning. If it wasn't for him, we'd be asleep.
That's right.
Just like Lazarus was. Lazarus was asleep. He told me, get up. Come on up out of that. What did he do? Rose. Everybody else thought Lazarus was dead. And blamed Jesus. If you would have been here, he would not have been dead. But Jesus already knew where he had to go. But it wasn't that time. He had to show the people who he was. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was here because he had to show us sinners how to walk and talk and act so we one day can make it to the kingdom, make it to heaven. Without him, we can't get nowhere. You got to first believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead for your sins. That's your gate. That's your path to heaven. But we're in heaven. I don't know where you might be. That's where your faith coming in line and moving on. So, brothers and sisters, good to talk to y'all, Mississippi and Tennessee.
All right, well, we appreciate you calling in. We're getting up here to the end of our show, and I hope you come back and listen to us again. Next week, we're going to look at the scriptures having to do with the mystery of the Godhead. And so That should be a real good show. We're going to try to go in there and everybody just kind of share what they think about that, and I hope you come back and join us. And we also, I don't want to forget Sister Sheila. This is a woman in Illinois that's battling cancer. We want to be sure and keep her in our prayers. And also for Gabe, we want to remember him. This family is going through a great trial with him. He's come through in a mighty, mighty way with this brain tumor. And I think in Gabriel that's 9 years old. Is that right, Blog Talk Mom?
Right.
And so we want to be sure and keep him in our prayers. And also anybody can go to the blog page on the website. If you got prayer requests, post those there. We will, you know, put those on the website. We also have a Facebook page, Your Place, and you can post those there. And we want to be faithful and encourage everyone to join with us in prayer over the special needs of people. And we also want to continue to remember the people in Haiti. If you didn't join the show last week, the pastor is raising money to send Bibles over there. They were asking for Bibles. Anyone that wants to send a donation for that. Starla, can you tell them the address where to send that, please?
Yes, it's Life Change Ministries, 1316 Huffines Ridge Drive, Huffines. Franklin, Tennessee, 37067.
All right. Well, we're at the end of our time here. We're sorry for the ones who are listening online. From what I understand, you can't hear, but this is still going into the archive where anyone has called in or any of the people that have listened to the archive, you're still getting this. But we want to thank you again for listening to our show. And just remember that, you know, we're all in this together. There's no big eyes and little U's. This is your place. Like I said before, we want it to be like a family sitting at the kitchen table where we can discuss these things, be respectful, and hopefully you can grow as I've grown by listening to some of these things. And our callers tonight, that sister Blog Talk Mom that called in, she was really, really on target. I really appreciate you getting her to call. Did you have anything else for us tonight, Blog Talk, while we're still on?
This was just an excellent program. The presence of God was... The Lord just manifested himself through the callers,